McDonough is going to come and read our scripture for us.
Readings this morning from Deuteronomy 29 through 31. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, so that you may enter into sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Beware lest there be among you a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away toward today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, 'I shall be safe, though I walk in stubbornness of my heart.' This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, and we may do all the words of this law. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, "I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall go over this Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." When Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the ark to the covenant of the Lord, "Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rochelle. I invite you to stay with me in Deuteronomy chapter 29. We are making our way through the book of Deuteronomy, about three or so chapters at a time. And these are Moses' final words. And this today, if you wanted to summarize the whole sermon in one sentence, it's probably the Lord goes before you and will be with you. That seems to be the thing that Moses repeats three times and God says once, and seems like that's what the people need to hear. And so let's pray together for help to hear. Father, we see in your word that we need hearts to understand and eyes to see and ears to hear. And I pray that you would give us hearts to understand, eyes to see and ears to hear from this word what you want us to know and to learn. Without you, we know that we won't hear it. We won't see the glory of who you truly are. And so we ask you, please be gracious to us, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. So the Lord goes before you and he will be with you. This is the summary statement. And as we're trying to get our handle, get our heads around what the Lord is communicating through these few chapters, we're trying to embrace the truths that are abiding. We've gone through this and looked at what from Deuteronomy is intended for us today and how we can cling to those truths. And we see today a few things. And there are three key words that really summarize each of these chapters. And in chapter 29, we get a bonus word. So in chapter 29, seeing, standing, warning, and a secret. And so we'll tell you, let's take a look at those. The seeing. Verses 2 to 4, we get the seeing. And essentially what Moses is saying is, you have seen incredible things from the Lord. You have seen miracles that he has done. And Moses, by the way, called all of Israel together. And so 2 to 4, if you focus on verses 2 to 4, you saw everything that the Lord did in your sight, all of the miracles that the Lord did. You saw all that he did in Egypt and how he delivered you. All of this he did before your eyes. He did it to Pharaoh. He did it in front of the land. There were great trials, signs, wonders that the Lord did. And then he says in verse 4, but yet the Lord has not given you a heart yet to know and understand and eyes to see or hear. So when you stop and you think for a second, what did they see? You think the 10 plagues. You think of all of each of those plagues which were intended to demonstrate God's superiority over the gods of Egypt. You saw the deliverance over power and over the animals, the insects, light, darkness, and eventually you saw God's power even over life and death in the final plague, which gave them the deliverance that they needed. Pharaoh said, get out. We're all going to die. Get out. So they left. But God then led them to the Red Sea, which we then see, we sang about this. God parted the Red Sea. Israel passed through it. And then those very means of their deliverance came back in and crushed and killed the entire army of the Egyptians. And so Moses says, you've seen all of this, yet you still don't get it. You've seen incredible miracles. You have tons of evidence to be convinced that God is the God of gods. And yet you don't understand fully. And he says, his answer is, because God has not yet given you the heart that you need. And then, so you get this situation that they're in. You have plenty of evidence, but yet you cannot comprehend fully the glory of the Lord. And then Moses goes on, and in verses 10 and through 13, he says, and yet you're standing here today. And you are standing here because of the power of the Lord He says, all of you in verse 10, 12, he says, and today the Lord is going to enter into a covenant with you. So you lack the heart you need, and yet the Lord is going to enter into a covenant with you, which he is making today in verse 13. He's going to establish you as his people that he may be your God, just as he promised and as he swore, meaning God is keeping your word, even though you don't have the heart to keep yours. God is going to keep his promise, and this promise language, this covenant language, this is the language of marriage. This, again, is God's covenant love for his people. When you hear covenant love for his people, think marriage, because that's exactly what kind of, the idea of marriage is intended to mirror God's love for his people. And so he is saying, even though you don't have the heart you need, I am still going to enter into a sworn covenant with you. I'm going to establish you as my people. And then Moses goes on at the end of the chapter in verses 18 and 19, and he effectively says, beware of your heart. Beware of, among you, twice he uses the word beware, lest there be any man or any woman whose heart is turning away from the Lord to go and serve other gods, meaning beware of spiritual idolatry. Watch out, because this kind of heart deception or defection is a kind of poisonous root that bears bitter fruit. And the author of Hebrews will pick up on this notion and say it infects many people, right? This idolatry or this defection to worship other gods affects many people around you. And Moses warns, if you think this inwardly, that in your heart, you can be content to say, I'll get away with this idolatry. He says, don't believe that. You're deceived, because it will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike, meaning this will bring ruin upon the whole nation. One person, he says, can be like a root of bitterness, and it will sweep away the whole nation. That's why Hebrews says this kind of root of bitterness can affect many people. And so he says, "This beware of this." And then as Moses moves on, we have to stop for a second and say, did we quite hear that right? Back at the beginning, you've seen plenty of things to be convinced of who God is, and yet you don't fully appreciate him. You don't fully love him. Why? Moses says, because God didn't yet give you the heart that you need. And then he goes on and he says, and yet God is going to make his covenant with you. And then he warns them that they're responsible for the heart they don't have. And you stop and you think, can that be right? Are we reading Deuteronomy 29 correctly? And then we get verse 29. And Moses says this. He says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but what he has revealed belong to us and our kids forever. Meaning, yes, it's true. You don't have the heart that you need in order to fully love the Lord your God. And yet the reason for it is because God hasn't given you that heart, and you're still responsible to love him because he is worthy. And you think, how does that fit together? And my answer is, I have no idea. And yet the Lord has revealed to us, we are both responsible for the condition of our heart, and yet we need God to give us the heart that we need. And we still have to enter into this relationship with him, trusting that he's going to give it. And the simple point is, God doesn't answer all your questions, and will you trust him anyway? That's what Moses is saying. And is it not true? We go through life with 10,000 questions about what it means to walk with the Lord and to love him. And are they all answered? No. And yet we are still called to love him above all else, is what Moses is saying. So there's going to be some good news. So let's keep going. Don't stumble over this. Right? Don't let the secret thing stumble, cause you to falter in your faith. Let's keep going. In verse 30, three more key words, because there's good news here. The key words are breaking, regenerating, and choosing. Breaking. What do I mean breaking? He begins chapter 30 by saying, you are going to fail. You're going to fail to keep the terms of this covenant, and you will fail so miserably that, well, he says, first, the blessings will come, but when they come, after enduring a season of blessing, you'll get so happy and content that you will forget the Lord, and you will turn away from him, and your rebellion will be so deep that you will be exiled out of the land. God will cast you out of land. He will scatter you to all the nations, even to the furthest places of the earth. And there you will serve other gods. He says, you will be, your failure is certain. So how does that make you feel? Yeah, you're going to enter into this covenant with God, and yet you are going to fail. And then the good news comes. It's God will give you the heart you need. So this we see in verse 6 of chapter 30. The Lord will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love him with all of your heart and with your soul. So you're going to break the covenant, you're going to get punished for it, and then God's going to give you the heart that you need. And what does that say? He is saying, you will not truly love God until you are totally broken, until you are so bereft of personal pride or self-sufficiency. If there's any inkling within you that you think, I can do this, that is not going to give you the heart that you need. So he's going to push them to the very limit to where they realize we can do nothing. We can do nothing to save ourselves. In fact, all we're going to do is get ourselves in deeper trouble. And then that's when the Lord is going to say, you know what? I will give you the heart you need. But, and he does this. If you're in a season of rebellion, just know it's going to get worse until you are totally devastated. And then the Lord, then you'll come to your senses, like you remember the prodigal son, right? He's so bereft of himself. He has nothing at all to take care of himself. He's eating slop with the pigs. And then he comes to his senses and he goes, man, I need to go home. That's what's going to happen. It's what Moses is saying will happen. And that's when the Lord will give them the heart that they need to fully love the Lord with all of their heart and all of their soul. And so Moses now at the end of the chapter, he says this. So you just have to choose. In verses 19 and 20, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you that today I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. So choose life that you and your offspring may live by loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice and holding fast to him. That clinging language, that holding fast here again is love him. You got two choices, Moses is saying. What do you want? Obedience and blessing. Obedience leads to blessing. Disobedience leads to cursing. Disobedience or ignoring the Lord, turning away from him leads to death. Embracing him wholeheartedly leads to life. So which do you choose? And he says, this is not a hard choice. This is not a hard choice. If I offer you a glass of pure, crystal clear drinking water, do you want this or known death in a cup? What are you going to drink? You're going to choose the good water, crystal clear and clean. And so he says, it's an easy choice. And yet, he also goes on and says, you're not going to take it. You will fail. And yet God will restore you and bring you back and bless you in the end. And so now we get to the end here of chapter 30. And then he moves into chapter 31. And the key words of chapter 31 essentially revolve around the coming of a new leader. And the words are dying, transferring, and trusting. Moses begins by saying, it's time for me to die. He's going to talk about the leadership being transferred to Joshua. And in the end, we're just going to have to trust him. And so Moses says, he continued to speak to everyone. This is important. Remember, he's speaking to the whole nation here, all of Israel in verse 1. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you cannot enter into the promised land. You're not going over the River Jordan. And so the Lord, your God yourself will go over before you. God is going to lead the way that you need to go. He will destroy these nations before you so that you will dispossess them working together. And then Joshua will go over at your head. So be strong and courageous. Don't fear or be in dread of these nations, for it's the Lord your God who goes before you. He won't leave you or forsake you. And what a sweet promise. So Moses is saying to all of Israel, I'm 120 years old today. And he says, I'm not able to go out or come in any longer. And you might be tempted to think that means he's old and weak and frail. He's not. Chapter 34 of Deuteronomy says that his eyes were undimmed and his vigor was unabated. The "he can no longer go out and in" refers to leadership. Solomon said the exact same phrase when he was 30 years old, and God said, I'm now installing you as king. What do you want? And he says, I'm young and I don't know how to go out or come in. Meaning, I don't know how to lead this people. And so Moses here is saying, I am no longer permitted by God to lead these people because God has chosen Joshua and Joshua is going to take you in. And so my days are coming to an end. So you be strong and courageous. God will go before you. He will take you in. And so we see this transferring from of leadership of Moses over to Joshua. And so he says it again and again, be strong and courageous. Moses says it to Joshua personally. He says it to the whole group of Israel. God will go before you. He will lead you. And he says to Joshua, you will cause this people to inherit the land. Meaning you will be successful. Why? Not because of Joshua's ability, but because of God's ability who will lead him in. And he says, so you now have to trust in this leadership and in the Lord you are giving. And God, very interestingly, I won't read this portion, but it's in 31. You can go and read it. But God says to Moses, you and Joshua come out to the tent of meeting. And you remember, Moses would often go out to the tent of meeting to meet with God. Almost always it was just Moses. Now it's Moses and Joshua. God calls for a huddle between the three of them. And then the Lord says to Joshua the very same thing that Moses had said both to Joshua and the people of Israel, be strong and courageous. I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I think that might be one of the sweetest promises in the Bible. And it might be what moved Rochelle to tears. I will be with you. You think about all the people you love in the world. They're great and wonderful people all around us. And yet, the one person I would want most of all to be with me is the Lord. I will be with you. I will take care of you. You will go into the land. And God commissioned Joshua saying, be strong. You're going to get there. I am with you. You will make it. And then something interesting happens in this little meeting, in the tent of meeting. God says to Moses and to Joshua, I want you to write a song because the people of Israel are going to fail to keep the commandment. And this song that I'm going to ask you to write will be a witness against their rebellion. Meaning it will glorify the power of God and be a reminder of who he is. And that's what we're going to look at next week, is this song. But God commands Moses and Joshua together to come up with this song. Now, you won't see that exactly, but the verb or the command to write is in the plural. And so he's talking to Moses and Joshua, both of them together, to come up with this plan. So, but God says, but the people are going to disobey and they're going to rebel. And in verse 31, verses 24 to 27 of chapter 21, he says this, when Moses finished writing all of these words of the law in a book, he commanded the Levites to keep this book beside the Ark of the Covenant. And he says, he commands them elsewhere to read it, make sure that the people read this on a regular basis. And here's what he says, I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. This is Moses speaking to the Levites as kind of representatives of the whole people. He says, even today, while I am yet alive, you have been rebellious. How much more after I'm gone? You're rebelling against the Lord even today. And after I'm gone, I know it's only going to get worse. And yet, He is still calling the people to covenant faithfulness. And you might get discouraged and think, that's just frustrating. Well, yeah. Do you know what the point is? You cannot save yourself. You cannot keep the law and earn righteousness. You need a savior. You need someone who will come and do it. The point of the law is not to say you can be righteous by completely keeping the law. It's to expose to you your complete inability to fulfill all of God's commands and the need for a savior. So let me wrap this up. as we conclude. A couple of observations in closing. First of all, seeing is not believing. Moses clearly says, you have seen plenty, you ought to believe, but you don't. You've got plenty of evidence. And I know some of us have unbelieving friends and family that we think, if I could just give them this, in, you know, if they could just see a miracle, if I could just conclude, get them to enter into this argument, I'd have them. No, you won't. You won't. You cannot argue someone into heaven. There has to be, second observation, a supernatural work of God, because salvation is supernatural. It requires the transformation of the heart, because Moses has said, you don't have the heart you need. What that tells us is we are so dead in our trespasses and sins, we cannot make ourselves alive. It takes the Spirit of God within us to give life to dead sinners. And we see this particularly in Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 2, verse 28. He says, a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit. He's talking about what Moses wrote in chapter 29. The heart, God promises to circumcise your heart. God does that. He's the one who cuts off this deadness to him and causes us to be alive to Christ and to love what is good and holy and true. Otherwise, we think it's all nonsense. So we need a miracle in order to be saved. And yet God promises, I will give you that heart. Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you and cause you to walk in my ways and keep my rules. And what did Jesus say, holding the cup of wine on the night he was betrayed? This is the cup of in my blood of the new covenant. And then when Jesus ascended to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father, we are told in the Acts of the Apostles, he received the right to pour out the Spirit upon all who would call upon his name. And so the need of a new heart and a new spirit comes from calling upon the Lord Jesus to be transformed. So salvation is a supernatural work of the Lord. And the Lord only saves the penitent, right? He only saves those who say, I know I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. And so I must cry out and call upon the Lord. And so I ask you, are you one of those penitent people? Do you know that you yourself alone cannot save yourself? If you think I can do enough to earn my way into heaven, you won't. You will fall sadly short. And that's why Jesus came and perfectly obeyed the law so that he might be the one to give salvation to those who would hear him say, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. And he also says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So Jesus alone is the way of salvation. So that's the third observation. God saves the penitent, not the perfect, because there aren't any perfect people. And I know some of you are very disappointed in hearing that. We know that. God saves the penitent, not the perfect. And then the fourth observation, as we conclude, is God uses old people. How old was Moses? 120. Now, as I have gotten older, I have learned that old is a relative term, right? When I was 20, I thought 50 was old. When I turned 50, I thought, it's really not that old. And I can only imagine what comes next. But I just remind you, God can do some incredible things through old people. Billy Graham, 99 years old. He did some incredible things. Don't need to really talk about it. You all probably know that. George Mueller, 92 years, established 5 orphanages, cared for about 10,000 orphans in England. But what's amazing to me is he retired when he was 70 from parish ministry. And you know what he did? He went on a global preaching tour and he wrote 10 books from 70 to 92. That's incredible. What about Corrie ten Boom? She made it to 91. Incredible message of forgiveness. I don't think I've heard anybody on the planet share the message of forgiveness like I've heard from Corrie ten Boom and reading her book. She made it to 91. So God's got his plan for some old people. And one final old person who's not dead yet, is Robert Smith. He is the voice, my favorite voice on the ESV Bible reading app. I listen to that man every day. I love his voice. He's still alive. He's still going at 77 years old. And I'm so fond of listening to scripture with his voice. I actually emailed him. I don't know him from Adam. He's retired from Beeson Divinity School. He was a professor of Christian preaching. I just emailed him and I said, you know, if we get to heaven and there's an opportunity to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you, I would love to hear what it was like to record the whole Bible and read through it. And he actually responded and said, I look forward to that cup of coffee with you. So one day I'll get to meet him. But my point is, God uses old people. Don't think that your usefulness expires when you retire, or at some point in life, you can no longer do wonderful things for the Lord, because Moses was 120 and he was still going. His eyes were undimmed and his strength was unabated because God was using him, because Moses loved God more than anything else on the planet. And that's the point of today's message. He's with you. He will go before you. He makes a way. He will save you if you put your faith in him, because he sent Jesus to accomplish salvation. And I believe he did it. And I know he did it because he was raised again from the dead to prove it. No other person on the planet, no other religion has anybody like Jesus who was raised from the dead and then ascended to the right hand of God Almighty. And I have run out of time. So I leave you with, Jesus is the perfect new leader. He alone leads into salvation. And so rest in him. Come to him, I pray. Even today, let your cares and worries all be put away and run to him. Let's pray together. Jesus, we have gathered to worship you because you alone have atoned for sins. You alone never failed. Moses has clearly demonstrated that every one of us would fail, and yet you didn't. You succeeded in doing the will of the Father at every point. You perfectly obeyed, and you willingly died, and you victoriously rose again. And Lord Jesus, we look to you for life, meaning, purpose, and salvation. And one day we too look forward to meeting you and having a cup of coffee together. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.